Sometimes I think we can try, and as hard as we do try, and as much as we try to give time toward the thought of how great God is, I think that many times we probably come up short of really realizing how great of a God we serve. I've always been one that I've gravitated toward that song. It's always been kind of easy for me to, as that first verse references, to look around in nature and see the things that He has made and see Him in those things. I appreciate the opportunity to look around, and not just in nature, but just in life and in everyday things, just to be able to be here on earth and benefit from the things that He has given us and the things that He does for us to help us to realize His greatness. May we always keep that at the forefront of our minds. Good to me. I thank Him for all He has done. I do ask for your prayers this evening. We have a little thought we'd like to try to on the board, a heart for Christ. As I was talking to the Lord, and He was visiting me in the last week or couple weeks, He dropped this thought on my mind, and I kind of knew maybe a little message or a thought would come out of it, and I kind of found myself telling the Lord that we hear so much on this subject already, and I feel like it's something that just in the recent months that we've heard so much towards. It's things that I know in the past I've talked to quite a bit, and I really wasn't too excited to try to have a message about it. But I felt the Lord, He kind of kept laying it on my heart and pressing it on my mind. So I asked that y'all would pray for me. I'm by no means trying to find something new to bring to the table, but just want it to be a reminder of how important it is to have a heart for Christ. So y'all pray for us. If we could, I'd like to try to lay a little bit of a foundation of how important it is to have a heart, to have a love for Christ. I'd like, if you would bear with us, just do a little bit of reading. Starting in Deuteronomy chapter 6. Verse 1, again, just trying to lay the foundation of where this comes from. Why is it important to have a heart for the Lord? So Deuteronomy 6, verse 1. We'll start there. Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do in the land whether ye go to possess it. Now it says, now these are the commandments, and I think these are referencing the previous chapter. The Ten Commandments had just been given. So more than likely they're talking about that previous chapter. So we'll go on. That thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all His statutes and His commandments which I command thee, thou and thy son and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee, in the land filled with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as the frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. So talking about the commandments, and then really looking at this commandment, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And I want to bring special attention to this verse and all the things that the Lord said that we should do with that commandment. He said, thou shalt teach them diligently to thy children. This is how important it was. Thou shalt teach them diligently to thy children. You should be talking about it when you sit down in your house, when you walk by the way, when you're doing your daily activities throughout the day, and you're going to and fro, you should be talking about it. When you lie down, this should be on your mind. This commandment, these commandments, to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. When you rise up, so pretty much every aspect of your day, every aspect of your life, should revolve around this commandment, to love the Lord thy God with all thine heart. So if you go over to the Gospels, and we'll go over to Matthew, I think Jesus referenced that in all the Gospels, but if you turn over to Matthew 22, verse 37, and Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And that's what kind of sticks out in my heart, where Jesus says this is the first and the great commandment. There were many commandments that the Lord gave, and He expected all of those to be obeyed and to be followed. But above all, there was one that was the greatest. There was one that was of most importance. And that was to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. And many times I have felt, and I think I've expressed this, that sometimes I don't even know if I can grasp the meaning of that verse, of what it is to love the Lord with all of my heart, soul, and mind. I mean, I can try, but what does it really mean to give my all? Lord, help us to, as much as our understanding will allow, to give everything, to give our all. So that being the greatest commandment, the one that Jesus refers to of great importance, with that being in our mind, I was thinking, you know, there are many things as Christians, as followers of Christ, that we look forward to. I know in our human way of thinking, there's pictures and things that we think heaven will be like. We like to think that we will get to see love. We like to know. Scripture gives us a glimpse of maybe what heaven will be like. But I know in our human mind, in our human way of thinking, we like to put literal thoughts and pictures to it. And we think of it as a wonderful place, seeing loved ones, seeing old Bible characters, and asking questions, and hearing singing, and hearing angels singing, and all those things that we have thought about over time of what heaven will be like. And certainly a place that we don't want to miss out on, that we want to be part of. But I think it is so important, and I know we hear these thoughts often, but in the day and time that we live in, there are so many things, so many opportunities for our hearts to be drawn in so many different directions. And I think that we have to constantly go back in our minds and remember what the Lord said, and what He reiterated was to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. As many things as that we are going to come up against life, as many opportunities and things that there are to split our heart in so many different thoughts in so many directions, all those things that I think about heaven and that I know heaven will be, those things will not be possible, or those things will never come true for me if I don't keep this first and great commandment, that thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart. But you know, I think it's even more than that. Even thinking of what heaven will be and what I will get to experience and what I will get to be a part of, even in this life here on earth, if I expect to follow Christ, to be held by Christ, to experience that full salvation experience, if I expect my Christian life to be a success, then I'm going to have to have a heart that is totally 100% given to God. Not divided up between Him and something else, something that I know God is important, but I still think this has some importance, and I know there is a place where the Lord allows us to become passionate about things and to love things here on this earth. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about me, my soul, my heart, who I am, what my heart is yearning after, what my heart is seeking after to sustain me and to help me. If I am not giving everything, 100% of my heart, everything I have to the Lord, my Christian life will not be a success. It cannot be. I had to tell you a little story. It's a little comical, but I don't mean to be disrespectful to the character in the story. I have a coworker. A week or maybe 2 weeks ago, we were there on my job, and we like to, from time to time, bring in. We like to do some cooking and eating there. The job allows time for it, so ever so often we'll put our heads together and we'll try to come up with some meal plans. And this particular evening, we were talking about the next day. This was a Thursday evening, and we were talking about the next day and just trying to rack our brains with what we could bring and kind of cook up or whip up something to eat. And nobody could really come up with anything. The conversation was kind of lacking in input. And I just kind of raised my hand and I said, I'll bring some hot dogs. And immediately, one of my coworkers, he looked at me and he said, well, I can't eat hot dogs tomorrow. And not even thinking, now this was his religious practice. Again, I'm not here to talk about the religious practice or put down on his thinking and his what that means to him. But it was, the next day was going to be a Friday. And I think up till Easter, right now, they don't eat meat on Fridays. So I said, well, I'll bring some hot dogs. Well, he said, oh, I can't eat hot dogs. And I mean, frankly, I was thinking, I don't really care if you can eat hot dogs or not. I might bring some hot dogs. You know, that his belief and all that didn't really bother me and didn't take me. And maybe it should have. But anyway, so I brought hot dogs the very next day. And most of us, we cooked the hot dogs up and we partook of the hot dogs. I got to give it to him. He did really good. Now again, this was something that he felt that he shouldn't do and he couldn't do. But anyway, so the story goes on. We ate our hot dogs early that evening. And got time to kind of clean up things. I was in there cleaning up the kitchen and stuff, and it was probably around 10 o'clock, and he walks in, and he saw me cleaned up, and they still had hot dogs left over. And he walks in, and just out of the blue, he says, "Man, I can't wait till 11. No, he said, "I can't wait till midnight." I said, I was confused. I said, "What's midnight?" He said, "Midnight starts a new day, and I can eat hot dogs." And I said, "Really?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "Man, midnight starts a new day, and it'll be Saturday, and then I can eat hot dogs." And something, I didn't say anything. I didn't want to come against him. But I thought, well, you know, how sad that was that he held this little standard or this religious thing, review he felt like he had to do. But this whole time, his mind and his heart was in another direction. So the story goes on. He come to me a little bit later, about 11:30, and he says, "Do you think it'd be okay if I cheated a little bit and went ahead and just ate this hot dog?" And I thought about that. I thought, you know, how sad it was. Again, I don't believe that belief. But how sad it was to have something that in his heart, that somebody somewhere along the line told him that this was something that he needed to do in his belief and in his religion, that this was something that he needed to hold to. No doubt his wife and some relatives, and they all maybe believed this, and they were all trying to do this. But in his mind and in his heart, yeah, he made it known that I can't do that because this is what I believe and this is what I have to do. But the whole time he was pushing so hard to stray away from that. So I had to ask myself, why was he holding on to that? What was in his heart? Was his heart really there? Was his heart really into that thing? Into that commitment that he had made himself? Evidently it wasn't, because 30 minutes before the start of a new day, he was willing to give that up. He was willing to let that go. And eat a hot dog and do away with what he had been holding on to. And I thought, Lord, if you give me something that I feel like I need to do, that I feel like that you have showed me that you, there is something, a standard that you're holding me to, that you're requiring of me, Lord, help me not to do it just because it was wrote down on a piece of paper somewhere, or just because somebody said that's what I need to do, or because my wife's doing it and she feels like she needs to do it. But Lord, if I really feel like it's from you, if I feel like it's a conviction, Lord, help my heart to be in it. Help me not to be constantly just standing here waiting for it to be over with. That, Lord, I'm here. I'm doing what you want me to do. I'm going where you want me to go. I'm attending these services, and Mom and Dad want me here in these services, so I'm here. But in my mind and in my heart, I can't wait for it to get over with. I can't wait for something else to come along where I can go do something else. You know, we can have the want to, and we can have the desire to do something, but if our heart's not in it, you know, we can look at options laid in front of us and make decisions, and make good decisions. I can look at this option and say, well, I would rather go with this option because this is definitely better than this. And I can make that choice. That doesn't mean my heart's going to be in it. If I look at this Christian life, I can say, well, I would definitely rather live this way because the alternative, nobody wants the alternative. But it's so much more than just knowing what the good decision is and making the good decision. No, in order for me to have success in that, in order for me to make progress in that walk, in that decision, and speaking to drawing closer to the Lord and making progress in my walk with the Lord. Yes, I can say I made that decision to walk this way and to do these things because I sure don't want to do those things and end up in that place. But my heart has to be in this. My love for the Lord has to be in this. If my heart and my life are not 100% given to this, it's going to be just kind of like treading water. We can do this and we can do this and we can do this. But we'll never make progress and really draw closer to the Lord if our minds and our hearts always have something else that they're giving into, or if there's something pulling, we're giving into that thing. So many times, many things will come up, and you know, it's kind of hard for me to preach this message tonight because it really does. It hits really close to home sometimes. Just simple things. Simple things in life that we enjoy, that we like to participate in, that aren't wrong. That aren't wrong at all. Things that we take up hobbies doing. And if you'll take the time to look back and you look and you see how much time and how much dedication you're giving to those things, versus how much time and how much dedication you're given to the Lord, sometimes it can be scary. If you'll take and reflect back on those things, I know there was, I'm kind of straying off. This is not in my notes, but I'm going to tell myself a little bit. There was something I had come in my life that I found a new passion in life. And my wife can tell you that there's not many things that come along that I just find a real passion in. I'll find a passion in them, and they're quickly fading. They kind of come and they go. And I'm a person that kind of just jumps around to different things I think I like, and then over time they go out the window. But I found a passion. I found I was really enjoying doing something. And by no means at all, I mean, there would be nothing to come against and say that this was wrong in any form or way. But I found myself waking up in the middle of the night and checking on something and seeing the results of something I was waiting on. And then I would find myself early the next morning. I would look at something to see what the results were. And I was feeding off this thing. That's all I wanted to talk about. It was all I wanted to think about. There was times that the family needed to have conversation, or my wife wanted to have a conversation, and all I could think about and talk about was this new thing, this new passion that I was enjoy doing. I even got to the point where I found it was hindering my morning time with the Lord. Yes, I was still having my prayer time and my reading time. But I have to hang my head in shame and say I found where this started entering in the time of morning before the reading and the praying. And I realized that it was becoming an issue. And I told my wife, I said, I have to purpose in my heart to not even pick up my phone, not even to do this thing. My heart and my mind were being pulled in another direction. Yes, I love the Lord. I have every intention of going on and drawing closer to Him. But something crept in and was pulling my heart and my mind and my time and attention away before I was giving the Lord the time and the attention He needed. Lord, help us. That as we keep the Lord at the forefront of our thoughts, there is always a danger that Something. Something is always going to be there pulling. Pulling you away. Say, give some time to me. My co-worker saw a hot dog. That was tempting for him. He was doing this thing, but in the corner of his eye all night long, he saw that hot dog. And he wanted that hot dog so bad. And then he was willing, in his, again, his belief, he was willing to cut all that off. And 30 minutes early, he was willing to give into that hot dog and let go of everything he thought was right and believed in that he thought he should have done. Lord, help us to guard our hearts and our minds. I'd like to look at a little example. Matthew 19. You know this story well. I believe it's probably titled most of the time in your Bibles, The Rich Young Ruler. Starts off in verse 16. I'm not sure how far we'll read down, but verse 16 says, "And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I might have eternal life?" I'd like to pause right there real quick and think about, you know, this young man. You know, I have to give him a... We know how the story is going to end up. We know that he's going to have to hang his head because he didn't want to give up his possessions. But starting off in this 16th verse, I really think you... I mean, as this starts off, you know, he's doing the right thing. You got to give him a pat on the back. He's asking the right questions. It sounds great. He's asking the Lord. His thoughts and his mind are on the right or where they need to be. He's asking the Lord, what do I need to do to have eternal life? All right? So, keep that. He's, as of right now, he's on the right track. All right? Verse 17, "And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is, God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. And he said unto him, Which?" He's asking Jesus, which commandments do you want me to keep? And Jesus says, "Thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother. And thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." And the young man said unto him, "All these things I have kept from my youth up. What lack I yet?" So, looking back at that 16th verse, again, his mind was in the right place. He was asking the right questions. And I thought how true it is, you know, that our minds can be in the right place. We can have good intentions. We can have asked the right questions. We can do some of the right things. And then Jesus says, these are the things you need to do. And he laid out some of those commandments. And the young man says, I'm doing all these things. I'm following all the rules. I'm doing all the things that are being required of me. All right? But the scripture goes on. And Jesus says, "If thou will be perfect, and sell all that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, come and follow me." Well, then it gets a little tougher for the guy. He says, I've done all these things. I've done all the commandments. But you know what? Jesus was able to look inside of him. And Jesus knew that he was keeping those commandments. But Jesus was able to look inside of him and saying that there's something that is lacking. Yes, that man had not murdered. He had honored his father and his mother. He had kept all those commandments. But there was one thing that Jesus said he needed to do. There was one more thing that the Lord required of him. And I would say it goes back to that first commandment. The Lord goes on to tell him, sell all you have, get rid of all your possessions, and come and follow me. You know, in that young man's heart, his heart was being divided into several different directions. You can tell from the beginning of this passage, his mind and part of his heart was going in the right direction. He was inquiring of the Lord, what do I need to do? He had kept commandments up to this point in time. But there was something else that the Lord saw that this man had not accomplished yet. There was something that in his heart he was only holding on to. There was possessions, and the title is The Rich Young Ruler. So we know this is more than likely talking about money, but I think it goes so much deeper than money. Lord, help us not to be so narrow-minded that if we read this passage and we say, well, I don't have a lot of money, then the Lord's not asking me to give up money. I really think it goes so much deeper than that. I think the point of this story is that there are things in life that our hearts will hold on to, and desires and things that we will hold on to and that we will come to love. But Jesus clearly told this man that if he did not give up these things, if you did not let go of the desires of your heart, obviously this man had a passion for something. Now, I don't know if he inherited this or if he worked hard for it. I'm not sure. But he had it. So that tells me that's where his heart was. That's where his passion was. That's what he was devoted to. He had riches. He had things. And the Lord said, you've got to get rid of those things. You've got to get rid of your position, your possessions. I want one thing from you. I want you to come and follow me. And in order for him to go and follow the Lord wanted his heart. The Lord didn't want his heart and his mind thinking about and focusing on these other things in his life. In order to follow the Lord, to draw closer to the Lord, you know, we might have to get rid of some things in our life. We might have to quit doing some things in our life. Yes, we know there are things in our life that we can't do and we shouldn't do. But in our everyday lives, those things that we become involved in that aren't wrong, that's okay to do in moderation, you know, those things can begin to consume us. And to take our time away from the Lord . Guess I'm about done. It's my desire to draw closer to the Lord. And I find that in this day and time, we have to be more and more careful. I sometimes shudder at the thought of, and I don't mean to be doom and gloom, but I have cringed at the thought of, I know the things that are out there to grab my attention. I know the temptations that I face, and I can't even stand to think about those coming behind me, what they will have to face and what's out there to grab them. But I do know that if we will follow that great commandment, that if I will give all my time and attention and every bit of my heart to the Lord, and that I will purpose each day of my life, every day of my life, that my heart and my love for Him is to Him and to Him only. That's what's going to keep us. That's what is going to help propel us forward. That's where our strength is going to come from. Lord, help us to often think, to constantly think about that commandment as we go through this life. I know there are things out there to grab us and to steal away our time and our attention. And those aren't the things. Busyness of life will do that. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about life being busy. That life will take our time and attention. But I'm talking about in our lives the things that we enjoy doing, the things that aren't necessarily wrong, those time getters, those time wasters, and the things that are wrong. Yes, there are things that people face that aren't right, that aren't wrong. Lord, help us to guard ourselves against those. Then in your mind, if you can remember the greatest commandment, to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and mind, if we will give it everything we got, the Lord will give us everything we need. And that is my burden tonight, that we could keep the Lord in our focus, that we can keep Him number one, and that we can do to the best of our ability to give Him 100% of our heart. Y'all pray for me.